We agree that there is a high desire among our staff, if we want to say to be shepherded, but to avoid the use of that word and to be more specific, I've said that our high desire among our staff to be listened to be heard, to be understood, and they appreciate greatly when NAV leadership is sensitive to their needs as a person, and they're being treated not just as an employee, and it's not just their work we're interested in. And while all may not voice it, but quietly, silently, they are crying for that kind of a time, and mostly it comes out in the area of, I want to talk with you. It's not that they have great physical, material needs that we're not meeting, or even emotional needs, but especially the need just to, for someone to talk with. We believe, and as Paul mentioned, we took off on that thought that everyone needs proper shepherding. Shepherds needs to be shepherded also. But that shepherding does not have to follow an organizational structure. Paul mentioned that, you know, shepherding is relational, not organizational, and it does not necessarily have to follow the structure of an organizational structure and those authority lines. Shepherding may come from several sources. And especially when you get into the arena of, you know, field directors, divisional directors, and then you may ask, who shepherds Lawrence Sanney? And the thought is that, you know, our peers, a shepherd may come from among our peers also. A third thought is that NAV leaders should not expected to be the shepherd. We're not even sure that anyone should be the shepherd, but that we can be a shepherd to the staff. The problem comes when we think that we, as supervisors, have to be the shepherds to staff and meet all those needs. Then it becomes overbearing. And as we discussed it, we concluded that what is important is that the staff leaders carry a shepherding heart and spirit into their job and be a shepherd. And that this can be demonstrated in relating to the staff as persons, as friends to the degree that both geography and personalities and may afford it, but in a friendly way, and as brothers and sisters, not just as employees, and as people who are just interested in their work, their task, can be demonstrated as we make time to listen, to talk, and to talk not just about their ministry, but to talk about them, about life, about Jesus. And it is demonstrated as we show concern for and sensitiveness to their needs. And we can't meet all those needs probably, but we can help to meet those needs that we can do something about and maybe arrange for others. And we discussed this thought that Paul expressed that shepherding cannot be delegated, and wondered about that. We concluded that what he may have meant, that in the situation of the example he gave, is a person who may feel, well, that's not my gift, so I'll get somebody else to do it. That in that sense, you can't get away from it. You can't relieve yourself as a leader of being a shepherd and of a shepherding responsibility. But we believe that it can be delegated in the sense that I can arrange help, especially when it's beyond my span, that I can provide of my resources. I can arrange help from others to pick up the load. And we believe that older veteran staff, for instance, are a good resource. Or resources across regional lines can be resources to help us in shepherding others. And we were challenged to give time to pray over, plan for, think through our people and their needs. But one implication of this, we believe, is that it underscores the value of FDs having the kind of personnel assistance to free them for this kind of ministry. And because we're not even touching yet what we will get into tomorrow in the area of stewardship, but just even the dimension of shepherding, just the time demand to think, to pray, and to relate, that the more we can free the FDs from things that somebody else can do and would love to do and are gifted to do, is the better shepherd they can be.
Hey, thanks, Ray. When in introducing Steve, I was just surprised that someone didn't introduce him as the one who presided over the historic move from 10% to 8.6%. When we got that word over in Europe, if there had been any election for a new president of the Navigators, he would have won it hands down, although we never even knew him, didn't know whether he was spiritually qualified or even a convert at that time. But the fact that it moved, that was historic.
He did try.
He did.
He did try.
He did try to become president?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Steve. Let's go. Steve. So what do you do for an encore?
When it goes to 12%, I'll just prepare my resume and be ready to leave. In our discussion on shepherding, we also concluded that the function cannot be delegated, and part of that was involving the definition of shepherding. And shepherding is not doing everything for everybody, but rather being sensitive to what the needs of individuals are and then utilizing resources to help with those needs. We had some cautions that were raised in that it's not a matter of swinging the pendulum all the way back to the other side, that we throw out all the business of setting objectives and holding people accountable and start caring, but that we bring the pendulum to the middle, wherever that is for a particular person. And we had a caution that the super navigator concept is quite unrealistic. We can't expect leaders to be a totally caring, shepherding type person in his gifts and at the same time be a totally stewardship type oriented person. But it's something we need to work on in both areas. We discussed at great length what we meant by having a caring style of leadership, what is a caring heart. And the conclusion is this is something we can't do because it's in the job description or it's my job to care for you. But it is a matter of going to prayer, thinking through, praying for individuals, planning where is a particular person, and truly giving ourselves to that individual and as a person, understanding them, where they are coming from as an individual, adapting to their style of functioning, and in that manner serving them. Another aspect we looked at as far as shepherding is protection of the people, protecting them from overcommitting themselves, taking on more than they should, and looking out for them in that manner, giving direction to them. We also discussed that correction and confrontation are also a very vital part of shepherding. It's not just a matter of being all on the end of affirming, but where correction is needed and confrontation is needed, that has to take place as well as a part of shepherding. And then being an example to them after 1 Peter 5, that while we not lord it over them, we prove to be examples to the flock, and that's a function of the shepherd as well. And if all of that doesn't work, we decided that we then relate to wait until we get the principles of tomorrow's session and carry on with that.
Yes. We began by asking, where are we? To what degree has shepherding been exercised in the development department historically? And we acknowledged that certain aspects of shepherding had been acknowledged, had been utilized, but that we had never made an application of shepherding in the full sense of what Paul presented to us this morning. And we felt that that was tremendously helpful. We decided that each supervisor should be responsible. We have about 25 people in the department. Each supervisor should be responsible to see that shepherding is accomplished. They don't have to necessarily do it, but they have to see that it is accomplished. And we felt that this function should be recognized as a very important part of the job. Whether we made it part of the job description, we didn't discuss. But it has to be given priority, so that it isn't viewed as something that could be done if time is available or on the backstroke, but it has to be viewed as a prime responsibility of the supervisor. This would then require instruction, we decided, on the part of our supervisors and or in the part of anybody involved in a shepherding role. And we felt that listening to Paul's tape, the presentation he made this morning, would be a tremendous first step, and that in addition to this, they could do, be involved in some Bible study on the subject, which, and then to also give them some practical helps in helping them through the process. We also recognize that it's important to realize that some employees will not be open to shepherding. It's conceivable. To a shepherding relationship. You have to realize that with 150 people in that office, many of them are Christians from downtown. They have not progressed significantly in their spiritual growth.
Downtown Christians.
Okay. Some of the functions that would be applicable to our department would be discovering each person's expectations. That, we felt, was a tremendous emphasis in Paul's message this morning. Also, career planning for each of them and personal development, prayer, being available to them to talk, sort of an open-door policy. We talked about, we even talked about the use of the telephone and got to talking about how demotivating it is to get screened. When you call someone, you want to talk to them, and what's the response? Well, who's calling? And it is demotivating. It is not recognized by the telephone companies as good telephone adequate or procedure. And they say, oh, I'm off on a little sermon here. Okay, also counseling.
Sheep,
listening.
Sheep that wander get their legs broken.
Some objectives in for shepherding. Enable each person to grow and reach their potential spiritually, emotionally, etc. Secondly, encouragement. Always being an encouragement. Third, meeting needs, helping them face and resolve problems. And fourthly, making people really feel a part. And Steve, in his testimony last night, alluded to this in his own feelings and probably caught us all by surprise, but it underscored, at least in our minds, how tremendously important it is to continually work at making people feel a part.
You got any other sermons you want to preach? Telephone, what else? I won't repeat anything that hasn't been highlighted already, because I've got two pages of notes with very similar, so I'll just try and pick out a few. highlights. One of the things that we did address was the span of control certainly does dictate the depth of the shepherding relationship, and particularly at the area supervisor level. The suggestion in our discussion was about minimum around 2 and max 4, that once you get above that, unless you've got a very tight geography, we're probably going to run into the same problems for which we reorganized. And we felt in our discussion that we're not even close to this ideal, that we've still got a lot of work to do in order to come up with more men who could shepherd. And we even gave some thought, and we're far from finished, but the idea of the possibility of having some shepherding elders and ruling elders. In other words, there would be guys who would give themselves to the administrative aspect, the management, the structure, and so on, and then take some of our older men who are headed up in their 60s and headed toward a more laid-back type ministry, and have them become shepherds throughout the division. And I think it's got some thoughts and ideas there that we need to pursue. Guys like Rod, that stop laughing.
These are Keith.
One of the other ideas, too, that has been shared here, the idea that perhaps we need to also realize that the, you know, is it really our responsibility to meet all of the shepherding needs of those underneath us? And that maybe we need to teach some of our staff that there are other resources to meet some of those shepherding needs within their own sphere of influence, i.e. pastors in churches, other couples that they're relating to, etc., and that we don't need to take on all of that responsibility, but maybe we need to teach them how to reach out and really take people into their confidence in order for them to be able to provide some of those shepherding needs. We had a very good discussion on the women's needs in shepherding. And I think the highlight, or a couple of highlights in that discussion, were that women must be listened to and heard and understood, and they want to know that there's a heart relationship there. They really do want to be listened to and understood. In that same discussion, that it's not only important for the woman staff worker to have a relationship with the male supervisor, but also the wife. But that the wife's relationship should not be directive or competitive, but probably in the area of friendship. These are not conclusions. They're for stimulation, and I think we need to listen to what's being said. I thought another statement that came out of that, and of course we've run into this from time to time. If the staff man communicates to the woman that she is inadequate or incomplete because she is not married, and that his job is to get her married, there's bound to be trouble. We'll just leave that one dangle out there. I think getting off of the women's thing, the supervisor has to overcome the management mentality in shepherding and realize that we are co-laborers and fellow workers, even with the people that, quote, are under him or her, that we're co-laborers and fellow workers, and that if we don't overcome this Western management mentality, we'll never really get to meet the real shepherding needs that are there. Everything else has been covered, I think, Paul, in one way or another. Oh, I know. Yeah, right. Jerry White reminded us that, you know, the shepherd used to carry that big staff with a crook in it, and that on occasion he did have to break the leg of a sheep in order to keep it from wandering. So we added to the job description of the field director that he carry a big stick and be able to break legs. Yeah, hockey stick. I heard you say it, Jerry.
That's not the Jerry I know. However, I won't repeat some of the things that have been already said, as Bob has chosen to do as well. Just highlighting a couple things. We broke down several areas. One was the attitudes and character we felt were prerequisites and necessary. Then some actions of a shepherd. And then we looked at some of the organizational impediments that perhaps could stand in the way of our being shepherds to the best of our ability. And then a couple other things of what needs to exist in the environment or the conditions in which shepherding is at its best. Just a comment or two on those. One, in the attitudes and character, we felt that the shepherd needed to be others-oriented, very others-oriented, and not a selflessness, because there one can really not truly shepherd unless there's a commitment to the other person. We felt that shepherding is going to require sacrifice and giving. If a person isn't a giver, if is a taker mentality, is worried about their own needs being met, who's shepherding me, who is caring for me, they'll never be able to give. So that a sacrifice, willingness to sacrifice, one comment is even made the whole idea of John 12:24, of death to self, which is a rather very difficult procedure and step by step, but one moves in that direction when one is a shepherd. And then we thought of sensitivity, high degree of sensitivity to be listening and hearing what and watching. Over on the action side, we felt that one of the big ones that has not been mentioned was it has been mentioned, but we'll just affirm it because we did talk a lot about it, but the idea of listening, but with listening to understand, the commitment to listening to understand. And then we talked about skillful leading with the idea of building up, correcting, giving direction, and that type of thing. We did talk about the importance of taking time to plan and pray and the spiritual aspect of that. It's interesting, we did too also just talk in our group about the importance that is laid upon the some of our senior staff who seem to be very gifted along those lines of just and seem to be very interested, and we named a few that are in our area, and everywhere they go they just are a joy and encouragement to the staff because they listen. They don't have any war tales, or they're not defending anything themselves, but they're more enjoying the young staff coming up. And they really have a role. And we were saying that some of our senior staff, maybe we need to really be encouraging them to move among our staff at different times. And I mentioned from my own personal experience that this ministry is tremendous overseas. And any of you who have traveled, I know I've talked to Lauren and to Jerry, much of your ministry is just listening. Just listening. And we could probably send some of those people on a listening tour around to our staff. Some of the impediments that could possibly hurt us, we did, however, in saying this, I might precede it by saying that we really feel that the impediments are being reduced, and we feel we're moving in the right direction, so we're encouraged. We were concerned about the importance of respecting the shepherd's responsibility all the way down the line so that there's allowing him to have, in the right sense, ownership of the sheep. Not that they're his sheep, but in other words, something doesn't come down from above that would move his men or would cause him to do something else that he himself, as the shepherd, would not want him to do, but he feels under the pressure to make them do something else or go through expose them to something else. So respecting that the shepherds at different level need to have the freedom to respond and carry through with their responsibilities. We talked about the turbulence, the staff changes, how this is really affects staffing. And we did talk about the idea that, I like the way Ray expressed it, that we don't have to be the shepherd but can be a shepherd, and that we've got to let that be open. But then we talked about the one that you're involved with, the group or the flock that God's given you. But then there's some long range, perhaps a staffman that's been with you where you have a particular chemistry and relationship has moved away, that they can still continue to have a shepherding effect on his life, but certainly should not, as some said in the old days, there was a long string that went out and it was pulled and it was tight, and that type of thing we need to get rid of. We did talk about the idea of acceptance of other people's sheep. When you take over or one moves, that there's a readiness to accept other sheep and take them with, embrace them. And even though they might be people you might not have chosen in a sense, or might be imposed upon you, that we need to see your responsibility as a spiritual one and take over that responsibility. We felt that there's a healthy emphasis now that it's moving in a downward emphasis, but the upward emphasis kills shepherding. The upward mobility or upward thinking. And we need to fight against that, because that's a very strong organizational tendency for us all. We did talk about the conditions that need to exist where good shepherding takes place. And we included four relationships where they are spiritual and mutual. That there's a strong mutual relationship of, and it's a spiritual one, and the perhaps emphasis in the brother area, brother sister type thing. Secondly, that there's a trust, that there's a definite trust. We felt this is where perhaps a lot of our staff are a little bit hesitant, that there is not the trust to open themselves up yet, and we need to have that, otherwise shepherding is difficult. The other is that the sheep are listening to God. We picked that up from John 10, that they are listening to God. Because if they are just listening to us, that they need to be listening to God. And that's the only way real caring and long-range solution can be found. And then that the shepherd needs to be walking with and depending upon the good shepherd. And again, we get back to that spiritual life. We talked a little bit, too, about the importance of not being possessive, but really turning people to the good shepherd. And we did have a long conversation about what happens to the staff at the upper level of leadership on the shepherding. And we got into talking about mutual relationships. We hit upon some of the things that you've said here about the Jonathan-David relationships have a great effect on us as we would come into a position where there's a lot of distance and mobility, and that little flock is no longer around in the same sense. And so we talked a lot about that Jonathan David, and that in the Navigators, the Paul-Timothy relationship is very often structured and it's emphasized, but the horizontal one of the Jonathan David perhaps needs, we need time to cultivate those relationships. Okay, and Jack, would you be ready with your report?
Yeah, I'm ready. I am really sorry, Paul. I apologize for being late. We got so involved, and the time slipped away, and then finally one of the guys said, "Say, do we still have that 2:30 meeting?" And by then it was 3 o'clock, so I am sorry.
Good shepherding going on over there?
Well, we're the lost sheep from the house of Israel. We just discovered something about one of the guys in our group. We've always thought that he was Swedish with a name like Soderberg, but we've discovered that he's Jewish instead of Swedish. That Berg is not Swedish. There's some financial implications of that. Oh, yeah, Sheffield's accountant had something to do with that, I guess. We spent our time just briefly going through the notes from Paul's message. But then we did what we have referred to as a case study. And we had a phenomenal time. And I wish that I could really share with you all that we talked about, because it was a real case study. It wasn't made up. We recognized that we had a certain situation that is a very heartrending and difficult personnel matter, and it has to do with the whole issue of shepherding, and particularly the issues that Paul brought up under the matter of care and guidance. And we talked our way through this whole thing of what can we do for this brother, what should have been done for him, what mistakes were made, what mistakes have we made. And then we got into the area of guidance and what can still be done in order to help salvage it as much as possible, and what is the best for him. We talked about options that could be offered. And it was a very meaningful, practical, and real application of some of these things that Paul so beautifully pointed out to us. And, of course, we did it in meekness, humility, and love. But one of the things came up right at the end of our discussion, which was not touched on in Paul's message. At least I don't recall that he mentioned it. But that definitely has to do with shepherding. And I don't know whether most of you have read Keller's book, which you referred to, what is the Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. But one of the things that Keller points out in that book on more than one occasion is that the shepherd from time to time has to deal very severely with the sheep for their own good. For instance, I think he tells one time about how they have to be dipped in the sheep dip, and they got to go all the way under, eyes, ears, a whole bit. And then he kind of describes outwardly how the sheep reacts to this, which you can imagine he doesn't like it very much. He kicks and fights and scratches and bleats until he gets all the way under. Then he can't bleat, but then Keller also goes in to describe what is going through the sheep's mind at this point in time. I thought this guy loved me. I thought he cared. But the sheep doesn't realize at that point that this is for his own good. It's to kill all the insects and the ticks and the bugs that have gotten into the wool. And if that was not taken care of, it would eventually kill the sheep, these insects and bugs would. And then there's a couple of other things that he mentions in that book along the same line that the shepherd has to do from time to time that from the sheep's standpoint may look like it's cruel and harsh. And we talked a little bit about that, that from time to time, as a shepherd, we have to do some hard things. It's not all love and kisses. And that takes courage, it takes love, it takes concern. And so we had a fantastic time. Like I said, there's no way I could tell you about this case, because but it was very quite a learning experience for all of us, and to realize that, you know, we the navigators have made some mistakes in the shepherding area with this particular individual, but we can still try and salvage some of it.
Okay, thank you. Well, now we'll just turn to you. Are there any comments, perhaps an amen of sorts that you would like to affirm or perhaps expand a little bit on some of the things that have been said, or a new thought or just a little twist that you feel would be important to contribute at this point?
Planning, praying, and it just sitting here stimulated my thinking that there's basically three types of shepherding situations, and one would be preventative shepherding, one would be pressure shepherding, and one would be panic shepherding. And what I mean by preventative shepherding would be the area of planning and praying and providing, which would be looking ahead and making sure that things are taken care of so that you eliminate the pressure type sharing, which would be more of the type I think we do. It's on the run. We're doing it as we come into situations over against praying and planning and looking ahead. And then the panic type shepherding is when the sheep are hitting the edge of the cliff going about 15 miles an hour, you know, and that's their top speed. And that's when it's not only done on the run, it's when we begin to maybe get our span of control too large. And we don't even know we're heading towards the cliff because we can't see clearly. And that just helps me to think of the general areas of shepherding. We might develop that later this afternoon.
Yes, Paul here in front.
I particularly like the one that you shared, Paul, on the sheep should listen to God. I think probably in the organization, our staff have become dependent upon us to the extent that they may not be seeking God with their whole heart, and we don't want shepherding to circumvent their looking to God, getting their direction from Him, and believing that they're His child and that He has a plan for their individual life. I think the sooner that we turn it around to saying that the area rep is king, meaning he is to be the person in charge and responsible for his area, the sooner that we're going to get ourselves turned around to become more productive in the right sense and for the right reasons. So I really appreciate that thought from your group.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The sheep are lowing.
I'd like to add just an emphasis to the importance of peer shepherding. In my experience, the sooner I've been able to move from being kind of over a girl to helping her to become a friend and a peer, the deeper we've gone heart-wise. And I've experienced the help from others who have been my peers, probably more help than those who have been actually over me in the supervisory way. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this has unlimited scope in the way in how we can get help from one another and encourage others to do so as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Don?
A term that Joyce just used stimulated a question in my mind that we just briefly talked about. And that is the relationship of friendship to shepherding. Has that been discussed? We were a little late. And if so, what are some of the conclusions on that?
We didn't discuss that. Perhaps some in different groups discussed that. We didn't discuss it here in this session. Any of you other group leaders, do you speak to that? Jerry?
I think this is a crucial area because there are tremendous expectations that are put on a supervisor. Everybody wants to be friends and close friends with the person that they work for, so to speak. But it's impossible for that person generally to have all of those relationships. I believe that a person can shepherd effectively without that person necessarily being in their close inner circle of friendships. If we can't do that, we're tremendously limited. And I think there also needs to be recognition that shepherding and friendship are not always synonymous, mm-hmm. As well as the fact that there are different kinds of friends. Mm-hmm. I think there surely can be a friendship. The question is how deep it is. You must shepherd from the minute you take a job, but the friendship may take 2 and 3 years to develop. I remember one situation where one rep commented that they couldn't really relate to their supervisor because they had just been appointed and had not earned the right, so to speak, to lead. So that leaves a lapse of 2 to 3 years that there would be no leadership if you followed that all the way through. Same with shepherding.
Mm-hmm. Any further comments in that area?
This perhaps is not someone.
Go ahead, Gene, then we'll get.
Sometime I heard a little story which I think makes a point in the area of friendship and of care. This elderly pastor was in the hospital, and his younger son, or his son, was visiting him. And the son said to the father, "Now, Dad, if you were going to sum up your life and your ministry and your purpose here on earth, how would you sum it up?" He said, "Well, that's a pretty big question. Let me think about that." So sometime later, he was discussing it with his son. He said, "Well, the purpose in life is not to see through one another, but to see one another through." So I think that attitude that we are we're on someone's side, we want to help them, everyone's got their blind spots and their blemishes, but that attitude is, "I'm going to see you through, I'm with you." And I think that issue that you're talking about in terms of care and heart, I think that little story underlines that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'm not sure how directly this relates, Paul, so you may want to hold for a minute, but I just wonder if you could comment on that, what you said this morning on not being able to delegate shepherding and your view of that, what that means at some point. You may want to wait.
Well, I can just respond to that. I think very much what Ray said in his group and their assumption was, and that's the way I would conclude as well, that you cannot delegate the function, but you can draw upon other resources to strengthen your efforts. But you still are the responsible one if you have a flock. And that's the point, and that's where I would... Do you feel comfortable with that? Okay. Okay, good. Get some feedback from... Yes. Oh, Denny, excuse me. Go ahead and make your comment, and then Roger will...
Just one comment, Paul. I especially appreciated your the thought on you approached each of your men in Europe according to how they were wired up and what turned them on, you know, what inspired them to be their best, and had a sensitivity to that rather than making this person feel that he should, you know, they all should be kind of averaged out, and that was the ideal. And I just appreciated that concept very much.
Okay, thanks, Denny. Our goal was to try to hold this to an hour, and some of you are going to be returning to your groups. So as I tried to put these reports together, I picked up four basic strands for you to consider And I'll be getting written reports from all the groups later, and we'll see where we are. But it seems to me one of the things that comes through loud and clear goes back to the thing we started on Monday, a spiritual focus, a focus on God by the leader, the shepherd, by the sheep. That's where it starts. The second issue is it's a matter of heart. Shepherding is not a matter of a delegated responsibility. It's a matter of the person's heart. And therefore, that might, we may need to include that as a factor in selection of supervisors in the navigators, as a qualification or a requisite. Item number three is that within an organization, tension is created by the responsibility functions of the organization, the structural arrangements of people, and that the organization can help and facilitate by certain things. For example, the idea of assistance of some type came out as a way of possibly facilitating better shepherding within the organization. But the fact that you organize creates certain tensions, and they need to be addressed within that structure. And then the fourth thing that I see is that our staff, and we perhaps as shepherds, we must help them learn to develop relationships outside the context of the organization. And maybe they just need to learn how to develop relationships, go extend themselves and create friendships at a peer level and other level outside. So those are, as I try to pull things together, those seem to emerge as areas that came out of these reports. Let's see, Dave, you're in the back there. Would you lead us in a word of prayer for God's further direction as you return to your groups and try to hammer out where you need to go with this?
Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is a good and the great shepherd. We thank you, God, also for the illustration of David, who had a heart, who had a mind and a concern for those that he shepherded. Lord, we want to be shepherds. We want to meet the needs of those that are with us organizationally. Lord, we just thank you for the time of interaction and the things we're learning from you and from each other, and we just commit the rest of the time to you as we discuss this matter, and thank you for what we're learning. In Jesus' name, amen.